I hope to make this brief this morning. I trust that the Lord will help me to be able to do that. Luke chapter number 2, I'm going to be reading just three verses. Luke chapter number 2, I'll read from verse 17 through to verse 19. Luke chapter number 2. We are bringing to a conclusion the series that we started a couple of weeks ago called Christmas Hope. Christmas Hope. I'm reading Luke chapter 2 from verse 17. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, church, please say with me, but Mary. But Mary kept all those things, all these things, and pondered them in her heart. I'll read verse 19 again. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. This morning, I would like to bring the word of the Lord. I've titled it, Pause and Ponder. Pause and Ponder. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go into your word this morning, let it light shine again from heaven and let it bring illumination into our hearts, O Lord. Lord, it's the last Sunday of the year, and we want to thank you for the things that you have done and accomplished in our lives. It is indeed a time to take a pause and to ponder over all the things that have transpired in the course of the year, with the purpose of bringing hope and encouragement to us, especially as we look into 2021. Lord, let hope and encouragement well up from within our soul, you know, as we listen to your word this morning. Let this word transform us, both the speaker and the hearer, to the praise and the glory of your name. In Jesus' mighty name, and the church say, amen. We've been sharing about the story of Christmas, and there have been several opportunities over the last couple of weeks for us to review the story again and again, especially as it relates to us as 21st century believers. Mary, a virgin, gave birth to a child, a son, and this happened in a small, tiny place in Israel. What we know is that this event had been prophesied over hundreds of years before Jesus was actually born. This particular event was actually a fulfillment of a prophecy that was given by Isaiah 700 years before time. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, he specifically said that a virgin is going to bring forth a son, and that son shall be called, is going to call his name Emmanuel. He said, this virgin is going to bring forth a son, and this son is going to be named Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, I don't know whether you have asked this question before. Ask yourself this question before. How come it was Mary that was chosen to fulfill this prophecy? How come it was Mary that actually accomplished this task? Because to all intents and purposes, you will know that Mary was probably not the only virgin in Israel at this point in time. There will probably have been many virgins, you know. So how come it was Mary that fulfilled this particular prophecy? In all honesty, we may not be able to answer that question correctly because we don't know exactly the details. The election, the selection of God, there are certain things that are just not open to us that we cannot glean from what is written in the Bible. You know, the same question will apply to every other person in the Bible that God has chosen, because you will argue that God could have used somebody else. The fulfillment of prophecies take place because God elects somebody to fulfill that prophecy. Abraham, for instance, God spoke to him, and then God started walking through Abraham to bring about a generation that is going to bring out and is going to actually spread his word to the entire world. What if God had actually spoken to somebody else before Abraham? before maybe that person perhaps did not actually heed the call of God. We don't know. Some of these things are things that we're going to find out maybe when we get to heaven and ask questions. How come it was Mary that was able to fulfill that particular prophecy? Because there will have been several other virgins in Israel. But this much we know, that there are certain attributes, certain characteristics, if you like, you know, certain inclinations, certain predisposition that makes people carry out certain tasks. And I just want us to look at something that we see in the life of this woman, young woman called Mary, that I believe is going to be important for us to imbibe into our lives in order to experience hope, not just for 2021, but hope for our future. And that's what I want us to point. I want to point our attention to. There is certainly something in the life of Mary that helped her to stay focused, making her a unique contributor, you know, to the life of Jesus as Jesus' mother. And I just want us to see that in the book of Luke, chapter number 2, what exactly places this young woman in a vantage position, if you like, to be able to fulfill this prophecy. Like I said, the reason why we want to closely look at this within the confine of the time that we've got this morning is to encourage you to pursue the same attribute, to have the same mindset, if you like, in order to be able to have a similar experience of hope and of encouragement. And we see that in the book of Luke, chapter number 2. But just before I read that passage again, or that those verses again, we know the background story. It was in the middle of the night. The shepherds were watching over their flock. The Bible says the angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And of course, they were scared. They were afraid. And the angel spoke to them and gave them an instruction that actually what has happened is that a Savior has been born, and this is going to be the sign. You're going to find a babe that is laid in a manger. And afterwards, after the angel had gone, the shepherds actually went into the place in Bethlehem. And when they got to the place, truly, they actually found this baby that was born in Bethlehem. Verse 17, now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. In other words, the shepherds were able to narrate to everyone that cared to listen what exactly the angel had told them about this child that was going to be, that was born. Verse 18, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherd. They marveled. The word marvel means to be filled with wonder, to be filled with amazement, to be surprised, you know, to be astonished, they marvel at that information, that story, you know, that the shepherds have actually just narrated to them. Verse 19, the Bible says, but Mary, and that's why I said you should say it again, but Mary. Another translation says, on the other hand, Mary. In other words, Mary is going to exhibit something that seems to be quite different, or at least in a different direction to what was stated in verse number 18. I would like to say, maybe not in a different direction, but Mary actually went a bit further than just being astonished, surprised. She actually went a bit further. The Bible says, but Mary kept all these things. Stop. Mary kept all these things. That word kept means to put in a particular place where you don't want anything to corrupt it. It actually means to treasure. In fact, that's what the NIV translation says. It says, Mary treasured. But Mary treasured up all these things. In other words, Mary kept them in a very sacred and hold them dearly. Another translation says, Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear. So it is okay to be astonished. It is okay to be amazed about what has just taken place. But it is much more important that Mary actually went further, not just to be astonished and be amazed. He actually kept them. And this is an attribute that we see Mary display again and again, not just in this particular place, but even much later, in the same chapter, much later, we read about Mary and Joseph. They had gone to Jerusalem and to offer, you know, for Passover. Usually people will move from wherever they are. They will move to Jerusalem for Passover feast. And so they came, and after they had done the feast, they were going back to their, you know, different places, and people were going back. And so Mary and Joseph were also going back to where they came from, obviously because they were not living in Jerusalem. And so they imagined that Jesus, this little Jesus was now 12 years old, was going to be somewhere with their relatives. That was their assumption, because Jesus was not with them. But by the time they got close to back home, they discovered that Jesus was actually not with their relatives. And so they were surprised. They were scared, you know, a 12-year-old. And so they decided they were going to go back to Jerusalem to go and find Jesus. And of course, when they got back to Jerusalem, they found Jesus, only that they found Jesus not in the place they would expect a regular, normal 12-year-old person to stay. Look at with me what the Bible says in verse number 48 of the same chapter, chapter number 2, verse 48. So when they saw him, they were amazed. You see that word amazed again? And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." Verse 49, and he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" That's a 12-year-old talking, okay? Verse 50, but they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Verse 51, then he went down with them and came to Jerusalem and was subject to them. But his mother, talking about Mary, kept all these things in her heart. That's the same thing, the same attribute we see with Mary. She was not just amazed. The Bible says she kept these things in her heart. So it is important that we see the life of this young woman, the ability to keep something in her heart. When Mary actually gave birth to Jesus, many Bible scholars believe that Mary was just a teenager. So as a young woman, this was the attitude of Mary to spiritual things or to supernatural things. So the things that was taking place in her life, she put and kept it. Treasure it, as NIV says, treasure it in her heart. But that was not the only thing. The Bible says in verse number 19 now, Luke chapter number 2, verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She kept these things and pondered them in her heart. She kept these things and pondered them in her heart. To ponder means to muse over, to consider, you know, critically or to carefully consider something. It's actually from a Latin word, pondere, you know, which means to carefully consider. Literally, it actually means to bring together in one's mind. So for instance, is to review something and with the purpose of gaining an understanding or a deeper understanding of what the event is all about. Is to carefully consider either an event or a saying, a spoken word, with the purpose of getting the details, you know, the intrinsic details of what is actually contained in that saying or in that particular event. That's what it means. It means to bring together in one's mind. That's actually what it means literally, to bring together in one's mind, to put things together in an attempt to make sense of it. That's exactly what Mary did with what she kept in her heart. So Mary did much more than just being amazed, being astonished, being wowed by this particular event, which obviously was going to wow anyone. But the Bible says she pondered them in her heart. She pondered them in her heart. Now, I want us to do a little bit of probing into this and find out what could Mary have been pondering about in her heart regarding this particular event. What exactly was going on in the heart of Mary at this particular time that will provoke a lot of hope and confidence in her that the future is bright for her. This was a young lady who had just brought forth a child in a very special circumstance. And so she was appointed by God, obviously. She, at this point in time, they did not know the details of what was taking place in her life, but she had great hopes for her future. And the reason why we're talking about this is because I want you to have great hopes for your 2021 and for your future. And so I want us to just go behind the scene and try to elucidate, if you like, what might be going on in the mind of Mary. What could she have been pondering over? And I have three things I want to suggest to you that she could have been pondering over at this point in time. I believe that she saw hope ahead of her, one, because she pondered on the providence of God. She pondered on the providence of God. Providence simply means, it describes an influence that is not human in origin, which guides and controls people's lives and events. It's a kind of influence that is not human in origin, and it guides and controls people's lives and events. Now, what am I talking about? I believe that Mary must have pondered over the fact that there is something providential regarding the situation that was taking place in her life. Now, she would probably have considered the angel that spoke to her. The angel that spoke to Elizabeth. In fact, the angel that spoke to her told Mary about something that was taking place in the life of Elizabeth, which no other person knew about, that Elizabeth in her old age was pregnant. So Mary must have been pondering over this one, and she must have thought about the decree from Augustus Caesar. This was a decree that actually caused everyone to go back to their roots, to go and register. I mean, she must have been reading meanings to all of these things and say, these things appear that there is someone somewhere that is controlling and making these events to kind of fit in. They seem to be coming together, by the reason of someone behind the scene. She must have considered the shepherd, the story from the shepherd, how the angel spoke to them and he told them about a baby that is born in Bethlehem, and those guys actually came to that place. She must have also talked about her encounter with Elizabeth when she saw Elizabeth, how the baby in Elizabeth's womb, leaped off for joy. All of these things together, Mary must have pondered them. The Bible says she pondered them in her heart. She must have pondered about the providence of God in our lives. Listen, people of God, it's been a tough year, no doubt about that, in many directions. But I want you to pause today and ponder on the providence of God, because I believe so strongly that somewhere, somehow, in the course of the event of this year, you will be able to realize that something is coming together in your life that seems to be forming a particular pattern which you have not been the one that engineered and packaged it together. You find it working that way without your particular influence. You know, when I listened to these testimonies this morning, and the one that was given by all of them, and John particularly was talking about, you know, their plans and how some other things came up along the line. You don't need to be a scholar to sit down and see the hand of God working and moving certain things together in order to form a particular pattern to bring forth a particular result. Sometimes it's not the exact result that you are taught, but at the end of the day, you will discover that there is something working behind the scene that is putting all of these things together. And that's exactly the experience, that was the experience of Mary. She looks at it and says, look, there must be the providence of God. There seems to be the providence of God in all of these things. How come it is only when I'm pregnant that Augustus Caesar suddenly decided that everyone should go back to their places and go and register there? How come I've been brought into Bethlehem? I've never lived here. How come I've come to this place at this point in time? And she must have been thinking about all of these things in her heart, and she must have that must have kindled an element of hope in her to say, look, this thing seems to be working in this direction because God is actually involved. I'm challenging you, people of God, that there is a way to experience hope. There is a way to allow hope to light up your heart by just looking at the providence of God in the situations and the circumstances in your life, right here, right now. Of course, there are other things that Mary could have considered. For instance, Mary could have considered the fact that, look, if God was involved in her life, then she should have been given a first-class treatment when it came to the time of delivery. You know, the Bible says there was no room in the inn. They had to have the baby Jesus in a manger. You know, you could consider that and look at that as a negative, and that will actually be cloud your mind to see the providence of God actually working something fantastic out in the life of Mary that was not just going to be for her generations, but for the generations to come. So this morning, I want you to focus your attention on the right thing, not on the thing that looks negative. Because by the way, Mary did not always have the answers. She did not know every of the prophecies that had been given. She had no clue that the birth of Jesus in a manger, I assume, she probably didn't know that it was already prophesied that this was actually going to take place within that setting. But that did not deter her from seeing hope in all of the things that have taken place, because she was able to take a cue from the way things have worked together and see this, there is the providence of God in this particular situation. I want to challenge you, people of God, to focus today and ponder on the providence of God in your life in 2020. You know the reason why? That is going to provoke hope, not just for 2021, but for your future. So we see Mary pondering, as it were, over the providence of God. Number two, I believe that Mary was able to see hope in her future because she pondered on the promises of God. She didn't just ponder on the providence of God in the events that took place in her life. She also pondered, I believe, on the promises of God, because she was given a couple of promises. Look with me in Luke chapter number 1, verse 32. Look at it. The angel of the Lord came to her, and these were the things that was spoken to her in Luke chapter 1, verse 32. It says, from verse 31 actually, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son." I love that word, conceive in your womb. Conceive in your womb. So this is not going to be by some magic. It's going to be by conception, and it's not going to be an adoption the way we know it. You're going to conceive the baby in your womb. You know, I love that, because that's very direct and very specific. So this baby is not going to be conceived in some test tube or whatever. I don't even think they had that in that time anyway. So it's going to be conceived in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Verse 32. I want you to pay attention to the will. He will. These are promises. This is what is going to happen. Verse 32 says, "He will be great." One. "He will be called the Son of the Highest." Two. "And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Three. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever." Four. You see, all of those things, they are promises that was given. These promises were actually given to Mary. I believe that the reason why Mary would have seen hope in her future would have been because she considered all these promises of God that have taken place in her life. And she would have pondered over them and put those thoughts together like a string and see a future for herself. Why will he see hope? Because God has promised. You know, the Bible says God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of a man that he should repent. Whatsoever he says, he will do. But over and above that, you know, by the time we read Luke chapter number 2 and the event that took place in Luke chapter number 2, what took place in Luke chapter number 1 had already taken place. In other words, there has been a pronouncement made to Mary about the birth of Jesus, and Mary had actually now seen Jesus being brought forth. So this was a virgin, and she has now seen herself put to bed, you know, a son. So there was no way you would be able to tell that kind of a person that the other promises that have not yet been fulfilled would not be fulfilled. Why? Because part of it have already been fulfilled. So there is a hope for their future. I'm saying that today, the reason why we need to focus and ponder on these promises is because they have the ability to provoke hope for our future. And don't forget this, and this is going to excite you. This is worth coming to church for. Now, listen. The most difficult, in my opinion, the most difficult promise that was made to this woman at this point in time was the birth of a child without knowing a man. That would be the most difficult. I mean, you can't just imagine a child being born by a virgin who had known no man. That would be the most difficult. So, when that was done, it would be impossible to stop this woman from believing and hoping for a great future and believing that all the other promises were going to take place. Why? Because apparently the most difficult had already taken place. Okay? The same way it is to us, people of God. I want to submit to you that the most difficult promise that God could ever make to you and to me has already been fulfilled. You know, I know you're scratching yourself and say, no, maybe to you, it's not to me. But listen, what is actually the most difficult promise to accomplish that God has given to you and to me? The salvation of your soul. That is the most difficult. Somebody say, but why is that the most difficult? Because that is actually the only promise that God has made to you and to me that will require his son to die. To accomplish. Every other promise that God has made in this scripture could have been accomplished without Jesus having to come and die. Health. People did not have to wait for Jesus to come and die before God actually restored their health. Provision. There was no need for Obed-Edom, for instance, to wait for Jesus to come and die before God blessed his family and his home. The Bible says in 3 months, it was so blessed that the entire Israel were asking him questions. How did you make it? He didn't have to wait for Jesus to have that happen. Leprosy being cleansed. Jesus didn't have to come. As a matter of fact, there were prophets in the Old Testament that actually spoke a word. They didn't even have to come and touch lepers before they got cleansed. The only promise to humanity that will require Jesus to actually come and die to accomplish is the salvation of your soul and of my soul. That's the most difficult thing that will ever be accomplished in your life. And you know the beauty of it. It has already been accomplished. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you are saved today, the most difficult promise that will ever be made to you under heaven has already been accomplished. Now, this is the question. If God has been able to accomplish that most difficult promise in your life, why won't you have hope that any other promise in your life could actually be accomplished? Why won't you? Because there is no other thing in your life now that God wants to accomplish that will require him to send Jesus again. I hope you're not expecting Jesus to come and die again. That has been done. So the most difficult thing that will ever be, that all of your prayer points put together, they are not as difficult as accomplishing the salvation of your soul. And Jesus, God has actually accomplished that through Jesus. That's exactly what he means when he says in Romans chapter number 8. Look at listen to what he says and let this sink into your soul, people of God. Romans chapter number 8, verse 32. This is what he says. And this is exactly what I've just talked about is what exactly is meant by this verse. Verse 31, Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, listen to verse 32, because it makes a very powerful comparison. He said, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, it's so simple. This is what he's trying to say. You know, he's just comparing things. He's saying, look, the most difficult promise to have been accomplished in the life of Mary was the birth of a child without being married, without knowing a man. There was no seed of any man in that woman. That was the most difficult thing. So every other promise that came, it would be great, it would be the son of the highest, it will reign forever, was not going to be too difficult for Mary to believe because she had already seen the most difficult part of the promise being accomplished. The same way. This passage is saying, if he did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how do you then think he would not freely give us all other things? All other things that he has promised. You know, I know that there is a lot of panic, you know, about, you know, our financial state, especially when we go into a new year. You know, some of us are already now clear. It's now clear to us and to the entire world that it's not that COVID is waiting for 31st of December and you say, okay, I'm packing my bag, I'm going. We know that's not exactly what's likely going to happen. It appears it might actually linger on for a while. And the impact that it has on families and on communities regarding their finances is enormous. You know, thank God for his protection and his provision for us as his people. But I am saying that all of these things that cause anxiety in our heart, they have been taken care of by the promises in God's word. What is holding you and I from believing and from hoping in God, raising up our hopes that 2021 is going to be far better, far more stable for us as God's people, just because there are uncertainties in the world and because of the promises that we find that is going to be so difficult for them to accomplish? Why should we think that they will be difficult to accomplish? That's what I'm talking about. Why do we think that the health situation and the restoration of health, we just pray for a brother, will be difficult to accomplish in 2021? If we are able to confirm and convince ourselves that the most difficult aspect of the promise that God makes to us as God's people is the salvation of our soul, and that has already been accomplished. You know, it's just like a guy that will come to my house and maybe I promise somebody I'm going to give you a car, you know, and I buy a car for the person and get, you know, decide to give him a car, you know, maybe a Toyota Camry or whatever. I'm not making any promises. I'm just giving an example, okay? All right. And I've just given this guy a car, and he comes in my hands, and he said, you know what? I'm giving you this. Take this car. It's now yours. I say, really? I can't believe it. No, it's yours. Really? Okay. And he takes the car, and then he say, oh, but there is a problem. I don't have money for fuel, you know? I would consider that an insult. Why? I mean, if I gave you a car, of course I know cars don't drive on air. I mean, at least not the one I drive around, you know. I can afford that. So God is saying, if I make provision for the salvation of your soul, so you think it's your job situation that I will not be able to handle? You think it's your health situation I'm not able to settle? You think it's the family crisis that I'm not able to take care of? Come off it. And that's why the Bible says, Mary pondered these things in her heart. I believe that one of the things she must have pondered would have been the promises of God. And that would have generated a lot of hope in her. She did not just ponder on the providence of God. I believe she pondered on the promises of God. And finally, I believe she must have pondered on the purpose of God, the purpose of God for our life. And the purpose is clearly spelled out. Look with me, Luke chapter number 1, verse 32. Luke chapter 1, verse 32 again. This is what the Bible says. It says, and behold, you will conceive. And behold, verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Verse 33. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Now, you know what Mary would have been thinking about at this particular point in time? He would have seen the purpose of God in this place. What is the purpose of God? It's so clear. It says, and of his kingdom, there will be no end. So his purpose, God's purpose, was to establish a kingdom. And God's purpose was to make Mary a stakeholder in that kingdom. And God's purpose was not just to make Mary a stakeholder in that kingdom, was to make Mary a very strong, powerful stakeholder in that kingdom. Because this kingdom was going to be established by our own son. And so Mary was going to become a king mother. And you know that in the monarchy system, a king's mother is actually a very powerful person. You know, you remember the story of Solomon when Adonijah wanted to get something from Solomon. He had to go and speak to Bathsheba. Bathsheba happened to be the mother of Solomon, and he spoke to Bathsheba that, please speak to your son Solomon because I would like to have Abishag as wife. You know, why would people go to the king's mother? Because they know that the king's mother had a powerful stake in the affairs of the kingdom. And so Mary's hope will have risen up on top of the roof. Why? Because she understood the purpose of God was to establish a kingdom, and not just that, but that she will be a part of that kingdom, a major, powerful stakeholder in that particular kingdom. In other words, Mary saw hope because he understood the purpose of God. Let me tell you this, people of God. The purpose of God has not changed whatsoever. The purpose of God remains not just to establish a kingdom now, but to expand that kingdom. And the beauty of it is that you are part of that expansion of the kingdom. You are part, a very important stakeholder in this expansion process of the kingdom. And it is in the process of cooperating with God to expand this kingdom with him that you yourself will find hope for your future. You know, the Bible says, my thoughts towards you, they are my plan for you. They are the plan of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 29. So I am saying to you, people of God, that we all need to come to a point where we ponder on the providence of God, we ponder on the promises of God, and we begin to ponder on the purpose of God. And I know the reason why it's so difficult for us sometimes to know and to appreciate and to come to a point where we begin to have hope. You know why it's difficult? Because things are not actually looking very good. Things are not actually looking very good. And for you and I, we look at our financial situation, for instance, and we say, come off it. What's going to happen? You mean in the next 4 or 5 days, something is going to happen? You mean in the next 1 year, something is going to happen? We don't see any hope of any difference, positive difference, between what has happened in 2020 and what has happened in 2021, because we can't work it out. We can't see it, you know? And look, I'm not going to place any blame on anyone for not being able to see all of these things. But what I want to challenge you to appreciate is the fact that Mary did not have to understand exactly the details of how these things are all going to be put together before she allowed hope to be aroused in her. Because when the angel came to her, look at the question of Mary and look at the response of the angel. And this response is the same response I'm going to give to you, because that's the same response I believe that God wants to give to all of us regarding those things in our heart that we're looking at and say, it's very unlikely that this is going to happen in 2021 or in the future, for that matter. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 33. It says, verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? How can this position of mine change? Because what is supposed to happen before what you talked about happened has not actually happened. How can these things be? I love the answer of the angel, and I will tell you the reason why I love that answer. Verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Stop. Does that answer the question? No. That doesn't answer the question directly, because Mary was asking how. How? And the angel said, don't worry. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will come up, will overshadow you. You know what the angel is technically telling Mary? The how is beyond you. But I can tell you the what. The how is beyond you. I can tell you the what. And I can give you reasons to believe that what I have told you will take place. Because that's exactly what the angel went ahead to do and to tell him. He said, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Verse 37, and this actually wraps things up. For with God, nothing will be impossible. In other words, Mary, sorry, I can't help you, because the gray and the white matter in your head will not be able to fathom exactly how it's going to take place. To be honest, I'm not even sure I know myself. But I know that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. And I know that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and the power of the highest comes and overshadow you, there is nothing that is called impossible. And I'm challenging you, people of God, the same response I'm going to give to you. How am I going to get a job? The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. How is my marital situation going to improve? Simple. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, you know, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. How am I going to provide for my family? Simple. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. But Pastor, that does not answer my question. But does 37 answer your question? For with God, nothing will be impossible. I'm saying, people of God, this morning, I want you to pause and ponder on those three things. The providence of God, the hand of God behind the scene that is working things together for your good. The promises of God over your life, and his promises are clear. The Bible says they are yea and amen. And his promise is that my plan for you, they are thought of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. And I want you to think about the purpose of God for your life. The purpose of God for your life is to make you to be a stakeholder in the expansion of his kingdom, bringing the influence of God to bear on earth, not just on earth, you know, as a geographical place, but on earth in your own area of influence. If you will ponder on these things, hope will rise upon within your heart, and I believe 2021 will be a great year for you. If you believe that, say amen. Shall we pray?